Turn your Bibles with me to James chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. This is the last topic in our overcoming series. And today the topic is on overcoming anger. When we hear this topic, probably the thought comes to us and we say, I know somebody who is very angry. But let me tell you, at the very outset, we all are the right candidates. We all have varying measures of anger. It is just that probably we are not pushed or tested yet. But in the world we see all kinds of anger, measures or intensities of anger. And the world has many solutions. But we know the solution that the world gives doesn't address the root of anger, or the worldview it presents is contrary to the truth of the scripture. What are some of the psychologists or the counselors historically will offer as solutions? They will say, scream into the pillows when you get angry, or the breathing technique, or count to 10, or really express your anger and thrash some object with a baseball bat, or stomp your feet until your intense anger subsides down. That is a worldly advice. It is contrary to what the Bible says, how we must overcome anger. Well, before we look into this topic, we must make a clear distinction. Because in the Bible, not all anger is sinful. We are told God is merciful and slow to anger. God's wrath is described in the Bible against sin and wickedness and all the abominable things. The Bible describes about God's anger. We know when Jesus was on this earth and as He visited that temple, He expressed anger because they turned the house of prayer to the den of thieves. He overturned the money changers' table in the temple. But that anger, we know, is a righteous anger. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Apostle Paul did not say, when you get angry, you sin. So there is a distinction between righteous anger and anger that is sinful. What makes a difference? One is the motive. Because righteous anger is always unselfish. It is focused on God's honor. When somebody punishes God's name, or God's honor, or death, injustice, there is a righteous anger that comes in our heart. But sinful anger is always selfish. It has to do with me. I, me, myself. My desires, my needs, my expectations. It is about, you embarrassed me, you belittled me, you made things inconvenient for me. And it's selfish. That is sinful anger. Second is the way in which it is controlled. Righteous anger is always in control. look to the road rage, and when unrighteous anger happens or sinful anger happens, what happens? It's always uncontrolled. It is destructive and causes so much regret later on. If you look at how it is directed or targeted, it is different. One is directed towards sin, injustice, things that are wrong. But the sinful anger is directed towards people. It lashes out against the individual. Righteous anger, when exercised, at the end of it, also holds no malice or harbors bitterness. But sinful anger, not only you go against the people and express your anger, but you say, hold bitterness. And you look for retaliation, seeks retaliation. So there is a difference in the Bible between righteous anger, which we should have, and sinful anger. And when we are talking about overcoming anger, we are talking about the overcoming the sinful anger. As someone rightly said, Aristotle noted, anyone can become angry, but to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, in the right way, that is not easy. In short, most of the time, when we got angry, most probably it was a sinful anger. And James addresses the problem of us getting angry. Earlier on he says, you should be quick to hear, slow to anger. And now he says, where does all this strife, fightings come from? And James exposes three reasons. I want to quickly go through the three causes of why we get angry. James identifies it. And in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, we have the first cause that centers in pleasure, or it is a heart problem. It is a sin problem. It is a sinful heart problem. And verse 1 and 2, from whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not. James is saying, we are getting all this strife, fightings, wars, which is the extreme expressions of anger, because of the violated sense of our own justice, or we have an obstructed agenda, our own lust. And the origin of this anger is not a critical spouse, a distant husband, a disobedient child, an unjust boss, or a difficult employee, or the guy who is driving recklessly and cuts into your lane. But the origin is right down in our own heart. Where cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lusts, that war in your bodies? It is a sin problem. It is a heart problem. We got to admit it. It is also a spiritual problem. Why it is a spiritual problem? Verse 2, the end part, and verse 3. Because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it on your lusts. You are praying, but you are praying the wrong prayer. You know what you are praying? You are not praying, Lord, change me. You are saying, Lord, change my spouse. You are praying self-centered prayers. You are saying, Lord, transfer my colleague, or even change my boss. You are praying prayers that you don't want to change. You want to change your circumstances so that you can continue to be you. I, me, myself, and just the me, as it is. It is also our problem with the friendships. Look to the third thing that is identified as the cause. In verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Our partnership, how we associate, when our friends are often following the world in a very aggressive and embracing the world, and if we associate with them, soon you start to realize you are catching their lingos and the language and behaving like the world. But Jesus is making it very clear. You cannot serve two masters. Friendship with the world is enmity. And you cannot be serving two masters. We cannot serve God and money. We cannot serve God and the world. God and Satan. It is the carnal way to think. So the root of the problem lies with us learning from the world, learning from whatever we see in the movies or in the friends, and it is our own heart problem. So the Bible addresses the real cause of anger. So next time when we get angry, let us not say, "You make me angry. Every time I talk to you, I get angry." And when we say that, what we are saying is, unless the other person don't change, I will continue in my anger. Or we are saying, the cause of one's anger resides in the offender, not the one expressing the anger. But when we look at the Bible, what do we find? Jesus said in Mark chapter 7 and 20 and 23, "When cometh out, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. From within, out of the heart of men, cometh evil thoughts." And it gives a long list, in which we have murder, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride. All these evil things come from within, that defile a person. We are doing the Bible study on the fruits of the Spirit. But what is given just above, the works of the flesh. Apostle Paul says in Galatians 5:19, "Now the works of the flesh," which is our works, the old nature, it says, "are evident." And in the long list that is given there, enmity, wrath, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, divisions, envy come from us. So if you follow James chapter 1 to 4, chapter 4 verses 1 to 4, follow Jesus, follow Apostle Paul, what we are told is the problem is us. Don't say, "You make me angry," but what we ought to say is this: I made myself angry. We need to look into ourselves, because it is our heart problem. My anger flows from my own heart, and it is my responsibility. Just look at the outside in the law. Just because somebody didn't follow the traffic rules and come onto your path, and you got out and bashed the person, what will the judge say? What will the judge decide? You know who will be wrong, who will be taken to task. We make ourselves angry. My anger flows from my own heart, and it is my responsibility. That is the first step in overcoming anger. When we accept the responsibility, then repentance can come. Then the Word of God can work in our hearts. And in the verses 4 to all the way to 12, we are told a solution. Especially in verses 4 to 10, we are given 10 commandments. And it is very interesting, these 10 commandments that are given to us, imperative in Greek, is in aorist tense. And in when something is used in Greek, which is a command, and is in aorist tense, it simply means that do the action right now. Do all of it right now. Stop the old behavior. And right now, apply all these things. And this is not something you should think and consider whether I should apply or not. No. Do it right now. And what are those actions? If you read from all the way from 6 onwards, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, draw near to God, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, be miserable, mourn, weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself. All these are aorist tense command. Do it right now. But I will put it in 3 different points, couple some of them, to make us easy to understand how we can overcome anger. And once we accept the responsibility that I make myself angry, the Word of God says in verse 6, but, you know the but is a clear contrast, but He giveth more grace. Therefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The first point in overcoming anger is heart transformation that must come from humility and submission. Proverbs 3:34 is quoted in verse 6. And in verse 10, which is our memory verse today, is like closing the loop of that whole section, saying the same thing. Humble yourself in the sight of God and He shall lift you up. So submission is not something like a grand gesture or something that the Bible is saying here. But it is talking about the daily choices of humility that we must have in coming under God's authority. And this is not a new teaching. Jesus told the disciples in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. If any man wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up the cross daily and follow me. Pride will sometimes not let us do it. That's why Jesus reminds us to deny himself. Jesus says in the same verse, for whosoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he will be the one who will save it. Submit to God unconditionally. And submission is the only sensible thing, because he is our Lord and Master. When we first heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, before we believed in Jesus Christ, we wanted to follow our own way, or we were believing in some other gods, or you know, whatever belief you had. But when we heard the gospel truth, before you accepted Jesus, what happened? You need to humble yourself and say, Lord, I am a great sinner. You are the Savior. You are my Lord. I want to receive you. And after we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we hear the commandments of God, come follow me. Again, I want to do a lot of things. But we say, Lord, I humble myself. You are my Master. You are my Savior. I will follow you. Unconditionally. And the Bible here gives us a solution to us. That sometimes when things happen in our life too, we may not feel like it. We feel we can tackle it in another way. But the Bible is telling us, do not follow your own way. Because your own way will lead to confusion. But God's way will bring divine order and peace. And God's providential care can be seen. So if I sum up what is said in the earlier part is, in overcoming anger, what we are doing is let go of ourselves and let God in. Our heart says, be like the serpent. Give the venom and attack. But God says, no. Let go and let God in. Our lives are disorganized when we are in command. But when God is in command, when we are submitted to Him, there is divine order. And it's a military term. The Greek word is hypertazo, which means bring everything to order. And we are not submitting to someone who is a tyrant. We are submitting to someone who is a loving king, who knows what is best for us. So next time you get angry, or feel like getting angry, don't get angry. Humble yourself. And submit to the will of God and submit to God. The promise is given to that humble heart in verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. It is said, told to us in other passages in the scripture, Luke 18:14, to everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Your way will go down. But anyone who humbles himself will be exalted. The Christian way is, the way down is the way up. And when we have done that, then there is power, there is authority to do what? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And that authority is not your strength. It is God's authority. It is God's power. It is very interesting if you look at verses 1 to 4 of where, what cause, war, conflict, strife, devil is not mentioned. So let us not blame devil for our anger. But devil can look for opportunities to influence us. Devil can do nothing to the church of God. I will build the church and the gates of the hell shall not prevail against it, says the Lord. Devil can do nothing to the child of God. A Christian can never be demon possessed. But he can be influenced in certain way. Why? Because we let anger, strife, the world, partnership of the world creep into our heart. And what does the devil do? Devil like a roaring lion, looking whom he should devour. 1 Peter 5:8-9, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. And you look at any situation wherever anger has happened, more sin is committed. We have caused so much harm and disharmony. Because we suddenly feel, where is God? Where is the peace? Where is all the blessings that God has given to us? So what we are told here is, in the authority that God gives to us, when we humble and submit to God, resist the devil, and no questions asked, he will flee. We know about the stories in the Gospels. Those demon-possessed people, when they saw the Son of God coming, Son of Man coming from far away, you know, they couldn't stand it. Because in the presence of God, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of what God has, who God is, you know, devil cannot stand. Resist the devil and he will flee from thee. But if you don't do that, then we are doing what? We are submitting to the world. Submitting to Satan. So overcoming anger. There's a parable told as a way of illustration. It's about a certain man who wanted to sell his house for $20,000. Another man that man wanted it desperately, wanted to buy it, but he couldn't afford the full sum. So he bargained. And the owner, after much negotiation, agreed to sell it at half the price. But with one stipulation. That he can have the whole house, but one small nail protruding out of their front door will be his. And the new owner didn't think much about it, and he felt it comfortable, affordable, and purchased the house. After several years, the original owner came back and he wanted it at a much cheaper price, the whole house. The owner refused to sell. So what did he do? He found the carcass of a dead animal and hung it on the single nail that he still owned. Soon the house became unlivable and the family was forced to sell to the original owner at whatever price that he asked for. The moral of that parable and the story is, if we leave the devil with even one small peck, he will ruin your life. And how many lives are destroyed because of uncontrolled anger or uncontrolled sin in their life? If you give your small finger to Satan, he will grab your whole hand. So the solution is humility and submission to God. Second is of step of overcoming anger. I put it in the category of faith and repentance. In verse 8, we are told, draw nigh to God, and He will draw near to you. There is a command to draw nigh to God. There is also a promise. He will draw nigh to you. The problem is not that God is not near you. The problem is you have gone far from God. And now as you have humbled, and now as you bring under you the authority of God, you know what is the right thing to do. To have more faith, to strengthen your faith, and to draw near to God. When we are in sin, we don't like to read the Bible. We want to, because we know the Word of God will point to what is our mistakes. But when we are under the authority of God and in humility, we want to draw nigh to God. Think about a mirror. We typically look at the mirror to assess our outward appearance. Is my hair combed? You know, my dress looking okay? How's my face overall appearance? But as you come closer to the mirror, you may see, yeah, there are things that I need to do more. Maybe one step of moisture applying is not enough. Need to do a few more steps. Or you go to a nice hotel, 5-star hotel with a bright light. Suddenly you feel you got many dark spots. Many lines. Like the mirror. And God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. His Word is light. The more we come close to God, suddenly you see there is so much more wrong in me. What I thought earlier as was my critical spouse, my employee and other people's problem is actually springing from my self-centeredness. There is this dust of selfishness in me. There is spiritual stains of malice, unforgiveness in me, hidden deep in my heart. Or even what you appear to be the best of your motives, soon you start to realize in the light of God's Word, in the God who is light and in whom there is no darkness, you realize your motives had crookedness. You ask amiss, earlier James says, because there was crookedness in it. When we draw nigh to God, we see our own flaws. And that's why in verses 9 onwards, we are told to repent. Because we are told, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. It is talking about outward cleansing, inward cleansing, because the double-mindedness that we have must be taken away. Just like the mirror example I gave, the more we rectify our flaws, the more we will become in the image and in the likeness of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. For one day, we will be like Him. And that is not what God wants us from us. That as we journey towards heaven, we become more and more like Him. The steps of repentance is given in making us cry unto God, mourn, afflict. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Even David, who had sin in his heart, when he was pointed in Psalm 51, Verse 17, David laments his sin with Bathsheba and he writes, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And that is very true throughout the Bible, in the Gospels, in the dealings with Jesus. God has never returned anybody from his presence who has come with a repentant heart. But there are many people who came very near, but they went out empty because they were full of themselves. Pride. But those who come with a broken and contrite heart, God always hears. And look at the example that is given in the woman who came and wet Jesus' feet with her tears, knowing the joy of the sins forgiven. And she is doing all these outward expressions because of what God has done. You know, and that is the true experience of when we realize what God has done. But in the world we find the total opposite. In the world, we find people who are pretending to be very joyful. I walk in this street, very nice street, a lot of people, and I look at the people, they are so joyful. But they are only pretending to be joyful. Have a coffee with them and talk about what is in their heart. There is confusion, there is pain, there is trouble, there is no peace. You don't believe what I am saying? Look to all the celebrities. Look at the divorce rate. Look at their suicide rate among them. They all pretend to be happy, but they are not. But when we are in the Lord, when we draw nigh to God, when we repent of our own sin, the true joy is present in our life. So the two steps so far we have covered. In overcoming anger, first one is to know I make myself angry. And since I make myself angry, I take responsibility, I repent, humble myself, come under God's authority and resist the temptation of behaving like the old self and be a new person. And in the newness of Christ, I draw nigh to God. And as I draw nigh to God, I further repent and become like Jesus. And now we come to the last point, which is speak good and not evil. Now that is the solution applied towards men. Verses 11 to 12. And here we are told in verse, do not speak against one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother judges his brother. Speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art a doer of the law, but a judge. Not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judges another? And in this whole segment, earlier we talked about the Aries stance and the command. This is also a command, but it is a negative command. And this command is not in Aries tense, but is in present tense. So the Bible is telling here to us, as you apply all these things at one go, immediately into your heart, and as you continue your life, stop talking negative about others. In the past, you may have sat around the table and you find pleasure in tearing other people down, talking great about yourself. But here we are told, speak not evil against others because of the royal law. And we know how Jesus summed up the whole Old Testament. Love God, love thy neighbor as thyself. And the Bible here is commanding us to be conscious of what God has done in their life, and being conscious of what God has done in our life. Don't be like that slave whose great debt was forgiven by God. And he was very thankful to God. But on the way back, he remembered he saw somebody who just a little offenses. And he was immediately captured him. And what did the Lord say to him? You wicked slave, I forgave all the debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have mercy on your fellow slave? Even as I had mercy on you. That is what God wants from us. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. Anger, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is destructive. It poisons relationship. It brings violence. It harbors hatred and resentment in our heart. And often it only hurts you. As someone said, bitterness is the poison you drink waiting for the other person to die. But Jesus tells us, admit your responsibility and fix a problem by coming to God and repenting of your sins. I'll just end with one verse from Colossians 3:8, where we are told, do not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good in Romans 12:21 and Colossians 3:8. But now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. That is what God desires from us and wants from us. May we overcome anger by coming under the authority of God and with the power of God that God has already given to us. Greater is He that is in you, that is in the world. Come to Jesus. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we praise you and thank you for the word that you have given to us. And Lord, we acknowledge that we are sinners saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the sin that happens is our own responsibility. We make ourselves angry. Cleanse us from all our sins of anger or any such evil thoughts, evil speaking about brothers. And Lord, even as we have learned the solution to our own anger, may we come and repent at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we have the grace that you give to us to humble ourselves in the sight of God and not to be carried away by our own emotions, but to submit to the authority of God and to experience the great joy that comes by drawing nigh to God and becoming more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless this word to us and make us more Christ-like. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.